RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Attending Diplomatic Forum, House Commission 1 invite people to implement local wisdom. Indonesia seeks the market development at the social reconciliation of Myanmar. Indonesia to improve cooperation with the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO or WIPO. And now the news in detail. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia holds diplomatic forum theme Literacy in a Digital Era, Challenges and Opportunities on Wednesday in Jakarta. During the forum, member of House Commission 1, Dave Akbarsyah Fikarno, stated that the parliament has proposed laws to accommodate literacy improvement in Indonesia. The law, including law on books, that urge many parties to provide good quality of book that is accessible among communities. However, Dave also encouraged the people to contribute even further by putting forward local wisdom as protection from the spread of fake news and hate speech. According to him, local wisdom should be implemented since early age of Indonesian citizen.
Us in the parliament, we have created laws in addition to the laws on books that would force the printers, that would force the government to create good quality and cheap book accessible to everyone. Such law has been in place, but what more important is that the Indonesian society, the Indonesian people, they have to know which one is good and bad. They have to understand that they have to be implemented in their mind and body is what we call local wisdom. Yeah, so local wisdom, to implement the local wisdom in the societies, in starting from early age. So then, in the future, Indonesian people would not be so easily aggravated by such fake news, such hoax news.
On the other hand, head of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, Anhar Ahmad, said that Indonesian communities is currently facing not only literacy challenges but also technology and media development. The research conducted by Central State University on March 2016 put Indonesia at rank 60 out of 61 as the most literate nation in the world. Meanwhile, Nielsen exposed that 73% of Indonesian digital consumers use mobile phone to access the internet. Thus, according to Anhar Ahmad, provide challenges of literacy improvement among society to fight against the spread of false information. In addition to Dave Akbarsyah Fikarno, the diplomatic forum was also attended by Director of UNESCO Indonesia, Syahbaz Khan, Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia, Peter McArthur, an initiator of Bijak Bersosmed Movement, Ridwan Ardawinata. The forum was also attended by Indonesian Broadcasting Commissioner Upsetar Sinaga. The Indonesian government is committed to help the Myanmarese government in developing Rakhine State through a process of reform and reconciliation. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in cooperation with humanitarian agencies incorporated into the Indonesian Humanitarian Alliance for Myanmar, or AKIM, seeks to rebuild education, health, and economy in Rakhine for social reconciliation there. Expert staff for the relationship between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Salman Al-Farisi, in the press conference on the type of assistance to Myanmar at the meeting room of Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, 19 of September, said that Indonesia through AKIM will try to help Rakhine people by fulfilling the building capacity in health, education, and economy. The Indonesian Humanitarian Alliance for Myanmar, or AKIM, also formulated concrete things on how to build the market as a means of reconciliation, because the market is a meeting place for different communities.
Itu Indonesia melalui juga termasuk melalui AKIM akan berusaha.
Indonesia through AKIM will try to help them, because what the program we formulated is almost in accordance with what Anand said. Like building capacity in the health sector, building capacity in the education field, there are available schools and teachers, but the teachers' capacity is limited or the curriculum is also unclear. Well, they do not have adequate economic activity. AKIM also formulated concrete things about how to build the market. The market will become a means of reconciliation, because the market is the place of different communities. Furthermore, Salman Al-Farisi said there are AKIM and MERC that have built hospital, while education, health, economy already exist, hopefully will become the place for all community as a mean for social reconciliation. The meeting also said that the total assistance, which will be sent to Rakhine, Myanmar, weighing 20 tons and will be transported by two Hercules aircraft on Wednesday, 20 of September 2017 at 14 p.m. Each aircraft will load 10 tons. Head of the National Disaster Management Agency, PNPB, Willem Rampangli, said based on the need assessment of the refugees, the government of Indonesia has also prepared 20 tons of assistance in the form of 5 tons of fast food, 7,000 sarongs, 20 refugee tents, 1 ton of medical equipment, and medicines and water treatment. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call of Director General of World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, Francis Guri, accompanied by two WIPO officials at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, 19 of September. Minister of Justice and Human Rights Yasona Laoli, to the press explained that the visit of WIPO official was the invitation of the government of Indonesia for a closer relationship with WIPO, especially in the economic innovation and intellectual property. The meeting, according to Yasona, also showed the seriousness of WIPO to help Indonesia towards international markets.
Selama ini hubungan kita dengan WIPO sangat erat, sangat baik. Oktober tahun lalu kami menandatangani MOU.
Our relationship with WIPO is very close. In October last year, we established an MOU with the Director General in Geneva on the National Strategy of Intellectual Property Rights. We discussed many topics, such as increasing innovation so that we move from the resource-based economy to the innovation-based economy, including the help of WIPO, so that our intellectual properties could be acknowledged.
Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartanto said during the meeting, President Jokowi underlined that the digital-based economy plays an important role in the economic development of Indonesia in the future. WIPO is one of the specialized agencies of the United Nations established in 1967. WIPO aims to encourage creativity and introduce intellectual property protection throughout the world. WIPO, a representative received by President Jokowi, among others, WIPO Director General Francis Guri, Regional Officer of Bureau for Asia and the Pacific, Andrew Michael Ong, Senior Program Officer, Regional Bureau for Asia and the Pacific, Yan Min Tan, and WIPO Singapore Deputy Director, Chandra Darusman. Governor of Indonesian National Resilience Institute, Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, after a seminar on strengthening nationalism values in order to bin diversity in Jakarta on Tuesday, 19 of September, expected Indonesian people to implement nationalism values such as tolerance, justice, and cooperation. He said binding diversity in Indonesia is a responsibility of all nation elements.
Nilai-nilai kebinekaan itu tidak bisa diselesaikan oleh mana sendiri. Dia harus merupakan sebuah
diversity values cannot be maintained only by the National Resilience Institute. It is as an integral effort. Firstly, from the government of which its function has authority to set up policy, to make all people participate in watching our environment, to strengthen national resilience in our environment.
Moreover, Governor of National Resilience Institute of Republic of Indonesia, Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, also asked all nation elements to have the understanding of national resilience, which is substance, is loving fatherland. He explained the materialization of loving fatherland must be started from early age from many aspects, such as in society, family, and office, which is done totally. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Language Development and Guiding Institute of Education and Culture Ministry held the 11 Indonesian language pre-Congress discussion. The discussion that was held on September 19, 2017 in Jakarta was attended by numbers of participants from academicians, practitioners, and culturists from Indonesia. The head of Language Development and Protection Agency, Hurip Danu Ismadi, said that this is an annual event 1 year before the Indonesian Language Congress in 2018. The discussion itself is part of preparation, so the discussion runs well.
Nah, maka setahun sebelum kongres kita lakukan persiapan namanya pra-kongres.
Well, 1 year before the Congress, we had preparation called pre-Congress. We prepare any possible scenario in the Congress, starting from theme, sub-theme topics until who will be the speakers and key speakers. We did all 1 year before. Hurip further said that the pre-Congress discussion group runs well as planned. According to Hurip, the discussion will be reviewed and formulated as a final result and published on the top of the commemoration on October 28, 2017. Meanwhile, the Indonesian development in Indonesia itself, Hurip explained that Indonesian language has to be known abroad.
The Indonesian language use in the public space needs support from all sides as language user, such as education institute, advertising association, and public. Indonesia and Sri Lanka will soon set up a parliamentary cooperation group to further strengthen cooperation between the two countries in various fields such as politics, economy, and culture. Chairman of the Interparliamentary Cooperation Board, BKSEP, Nur Hayati Ali Assegaf, stated while receiving Sri Lankan Honorary Ambassador to Indonesia, Darsana Mahendra Parera, at her office in the Parliament Building in Jakarta on Tuesday, that Indonesia and Sri Lanka both share an important relationship in terms of Parliament between the two countries. The request to open the working group of the Indonesian and Sri Lanka Parliament was conveyed directly by Parera because there had been no cooperation of Parliament till date. According to Nur Hayati, the parliamentary diplomacy can further strengthen the cooperation between the two countries. With the formation of the Parliamentary Cooperation Group, the Sri Lankan Parliament, according to her, sees that the tolerance in the life of the state in Indonesia is highly observed. Meanwhile, Parera expressed his appreciation over the success of the House of Representatives in organizing the World Parliamentary Forum in Bali on September 7 and 8. And the last item. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, alias Jokowi, has opened the Indonesia Business and Development Expo, IBD Expo 2017, that is held on September 20 to 23 at Balai Sidang, Jakarta. In his opening address, Jokowi mentioned the shift in consumption patterns that have had an impact on production patterns in the digital economy era. The president said that there will be changes not only in consumption patterns but also patterns of work. They will all change and production pattern will also change. He said that Indonesian companies ought to take notice of consumption and production patterns and react accordingly. President Jokowi said that more people are using social media to immortalize a moment. Moreover, digital networks have the potential to develop further the patterns of consumption, production, and distribution. Jokowi added, "Imagine the change, the shift. We have to understand that there is a transition from offline to online." And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Attending diplomatic forum, House Commission 1 invite people to implement local wisdom. Indonesia seeks the market development as the social reconciliation of Myanmar. Indonesia to improve cooperation with World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Next is commentary, and today's commentary is on early election in Japan. Although he still has time until 2018 to lead Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe made a surprise by planning to dissolve parliament and organizing early elections in October. In the previous two elections, Abe managed to occupy the prime minister's seat by promising not to raise taxes, but this time Abe did the opposite. If he wins the election in October, then Abe will certainly become a three times prime minister, and it means that Abe will still lead Japan in the time of Summer Olympic Games in 2020. This has been made possible after Abe amended the internal constitution of the Liberal Democratic Party, the LDP, so that he can lead more than two periods. Before the amendment, the position of LDP chairman or president is limited to two periods of just 3 years each. If it is not amended, then Abe, who has led the LDP since 2012, should step down in September 2018. If Abe previously used the tax issue, this time the popularity of Abe is increasing again because of the North Korean crisis, which he used to win early elections. Opinion polls show more than 40% of LDP electability rose, Opposition parties like the Democrat Party only reached 7%. Abe also seemed to want to take the moment to precede his main rival, currently serving as Tokyo governor, Yuriko Koike. Currently, Koike is preparing to enter through a new party called Japan First, a right-wing party that was established in 2016. Hopefully, the results of early elections in Japan are the best, selected by Japanese citizens. According to some polls, Shinzo Abe is at the top, but it is not sure whether Shinzo Abe is still trusted to lead Japan or another elected leader will do. Whoever becomes the leader of Japan, Indonesia, and Japan need to continue to improve bilateral cooperation, which has been good so far. Well, that was commentary today on early elections in Japan. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome to our regular Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on September 20, 1946, Cannes Film Festival played for the first time. Cannes Film Festival was firstly held on September 20, 1946 in the resort town of Cannes, France. Furthermore, the festival is held in May annually, except for certain years. The Cannes Festival is also a place for film entrepreneurs to launch their latest movies or try to sell their works to distributors around the world. The most prestigious award given at Cannes is the Golden Palm or the Palme d'Or for the best film. The next event on September 20, 1979, coup d'état in Republic of Central Africa to topple President David Deco. Republic of Central Africa is a country in rural Africa which bordered to Chad, Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Republic of Congo, and Cameroon. Formerly, the country was a French colony named Ubangisari, which gained its independence in 1960 on September 20, 1979, with French support. David Deco launched a bloodless coup and overthrew President Bokassa. But Deco's effort to restore the country's economy failed. On September 20, 1981, David Deco was overthrown in a bloodless coup led by General Andre Kolimba. Kolimba immediately replaced the constitution with military law. Kolimba led Central Africa with a military government for 4 years. We end the segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on September 20, 2004, the first direct election of president and vice president in Indonesia. Since 2004, Indonesia has a new mechanism in the presidential election. If the previous president was determined by the vote of the people's representatives in the People's Legislative Assembly, DPR, and the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, then in 2004, the president and vice president of the Republic of Indonesia must be determined by the vote of the people directly. Means that all Indonesian citizens have the right to choose their leaders. Those who come from various circles of economy, profession, and region are taken into account their votes. In the first direct presidential election,
The couple Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Yusuf Kalla became the winners for the 2004-2009 period. They went through two rounds of election. In the second round, which took place on September 20, 2004, they defeated their opponents. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today entitled, Conservationists of International Culture Release Hatchling in Bali. Organization of cultural conservation in various countries in the world joined in the International National Trust Organization held the 17th Cultural Conservation International Conference at Museum Subak, Gianyar Regency, Bali on Monday, September 11. The museum located at Masetty Beach, Gianyar. The opening of International Conference of Cultural Conservation was attended by at least 200 participants from 31 member countries of the International National Trust Organization lasted lively. The participants were given various Balinese traditional art and culture. In addition to the show, before the participants of International Conference, young generations come from various regions in Indonesia like Bali, Medan, Jakarta and others, also sounding the youth aspirations for the natural conservation and cultures in Indonesia. On the opening of the event, also released about 200 hatchlings at the Pura Mas Jetty Coast, Gianyar Regency, Bali on Monday, to the habitat on the sea. Chairman of the 17th International Conference Committee on Cultural Conservation, Katrini Kubontubo, said the release of 200 hatchlings as a form of concern of the conference participants toward the protected animals. According to Katrini, the cultural preservation is related to nature conservation. They want the animals remain exist and inspire the community in Bali to participate in preserving the surrounding environment, one of them by removing the hatchling. The release of hatchlings was also conducted by Gianyar Region Anak Agung Gede Agung Barata, along with the participants of the international conference. They released the hatchlings simultaneously at the Mas Jetty Beach. On the occasion, Katrini appreciated the support of Gianyar Regional Government toward the activity. Meanwhile, Director of International National Trust Organization Oliver Morris admitted very support to an effort of animal conservation because the event can strengthen the role of the Cultural Conservation International Conference in keeping the conservation of animal, environment, and cultural heritage. Listener, that was the Boy Green.
Here is our news in brief. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia holds diplomatic forum theme Literacy in a Digital Era, Challenges and Opportunities on Wednesday in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is committed to help the Myanmarese government in developing Rakhine State through a process of reform and reconciliation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call of Director General of World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, Francis Guri, accompanied by two WIPO officials at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, 19 of September. Governor of Indonesian National Resilience Institute, Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, after a seminar on strengthening nationalism values in order to bind diversity in Jakarta on Tuesday, 19 of September, expected Indonesian people to implement nationalism values such as tolerance, justice, and cooperation. The Language Development and Guiding Institute of Education and Culture Ministry held the 11th Indonesian Language Pre-Congress Discussion. Indonesia and Sri Lanka will soon set up a parliamentary cooperation group to further strengthen cooperation between the two countries in various fields such as politics, economy, and culture. And the last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has opened the Indonesian Business and Development Expo, IBD Expo 2017, that is held on September 23rd, Balai Sidang, Jakarta. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, going to tourism object for tourists is as refreshing. To see and feel beautiful scenery can certainly relieve stress to become relaxed again. If the tourism object is full of people, so it will make stress. Because of that, many tourists look for tourism object which is not known and visited yet by many people. Kupang City has one of tourism objects like that, namely Crystal Cave. Listeners, fewer people now Crystal Cave. Even in the era of modern technology, photographs of the cave are not spread out on social media yet. For tourists who know it, it is good because it makes the cave beautiful and natural. The entrance door of the cave is little lighting. After several steps through the entrance door, there is pool which has clear water. Interestingly, water which is brackish will glow bluish if it is exposed with sunlight entering through the crack of stones. Tourists can swim in this pool. Listeners, due to Crystal Cave is a tourism object which is not managed well yet, there is no facility at the location. If you are interested to enter the cave, please do not forget to bring your own flashlight, food, and beverage. Thank you. Listeners, Crystal Cave is located at Bolok Village, West Kupang Sub-District. Kupang City is Nusa Tenggara Province. To go to Crystal Cave from Kupang City, you take the direction to Bolok Seaport. The trip takes around 45 minutes by using 2 or 4 wheels. The location of Crystal Cave is close to Bolok Water Police Office. Because of that, we suggest you to park your vehicle at police office because the cave area does not have parking lot. From the police station, tourists can walk around 500 meters to the cave. Listeners, tourists who want to visit Crystal Cave are advised to come at noon at 11 local time, because at the time sunlight penetrates through the cracked stone of the cave, so that the cave looks beautiful. If you are in East Nusa Tenggara Province, please do not forget to enter Crystal Cave in your list destination, because to enjoy the beautiful cave is free of charge. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Crystal Cave. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is menjemput tamu, or in English, picking up the guest. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pesawat. Pesawat in English, plane. Tiba. Tiba in English, to arrive. Jam berapa. Jam berapa in English, what time. Jadwal. Jadwal in English, schedule. Jam satu siang in English, 13 p.m. or 1 o'clock. Harus. Harus in English, must be. Segera. Segera in English, soon. Pintu kedatangan in English, arrival gate. Letak. Letak in English, location. Bagian informasi. bagian informasi in English Information Division. Di sebelah barat, in English, at the west side. Gedung, in English, building. Terima kasih, in English, thank you. Next is a conversation about menjemput tamu, or in English, picking up the guest. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Agus, Rudy, and Officer. Agus. Rudy, pesawat dari Bali tiba di Jakarta jam berapa? Rudy, pesawat dari Bali tiba di Jakarta jam berapa? In English, Rudy, at what time the plane from Bali will arrive? Rudy, kalau dilihat dari jadwal, pesawat akan tiba jam 1 siang. Kalau dilihat dari jadwal, pesawat akan tiba jam 1 siang. In English, according to the schedule, the plane will arrive on 1 p.m. Agus, kalau begitu, kita harus segera ke pintu kedatangan. Kalau begitu, kita harus segera ke pintu kedatangan. In English, so we have to stand by at the arrival gate. Rudy, baiklah, tapi di mana letak pintu kedatangannya? Baiklah, tapi di mana letak pintu kedatangannya? In English, all right, but where is the arrival gate? Agus, kita tanyakan saja ke bagian informasi. Kita tanyakan saja ke bagian informasi. In English, we can ask the information section. Rudy, selamat siang, Pak. Pintu kedatangan pesawat dari Bali di sebelah mana, Pak? Selamat siang, Pak. Pintu kedatangan pesawat dari Bali di sebelah mana, Pak? In English, good afternoon, sir. Where is the arrival gate of the plane from Bali? The officer, selamat siang. Pintu kedatangan pesawat dari Bali di sebelah barat gedung ini. Selamat siang. Pintu kedatangan pesawat dari Bali di sebelah barat gedung ini. In English, the arrival gate of the plane from Bali is on the west side of the building. Agus, baiklah, terima kasih. In English, all right, thank you. Officer, terima kasih kembali. In English, you're welcome. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until next week with other topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present the songs from a band called Stereo Case. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Just Called Life. Happy listening.
Last night you slept in a blanket made of power. You had everything.
heaven that no one could imagine. But in the blink of an eye, everything disappeared. Oh, without anything left, it's just you all alone. There, no one's gotta save you. It just comes life you have to deal with. Why don't you take it slow, man? No one's ever gonna save you if it's your life. So why so
the song Just Called Life by Stereo Case. The song tells about human should be able to lead a life without any burden. The song was the first work of Stereo Case. The band was formed on March 19, 2008, composed by Ikif the drummer, Fadli the vocalist, Donny the bassist, and Richard guitarist. Before releasing the album, Stereo Case released various singles such as Just Called Life, who received the Indonesian Cutting Edge Music Award, or ICEMA, in 2010 for the Best Newcomer category. Since then, the journey of Stereo Case's career in Indonesian music world getting more smoothly. The group then released their first album entitled Bicara at the end of 2011. Consists of 10 songs, the album Bicara brings themes that close to daily life so that it is easily accepted by the music lovers. In their work, the personnel bring alternative rock genres. They choose the music because every personnel of Stereo Case claim to like and they are influenced by the works of an American band, Incubus. However, Stereo Case still works with its own creativity. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Alihkan. Happy listening. August 2017, the Stereo Case band released their second album entitled Colors. With the song Taboo as the leading single, the Stereo Case tried to invite the attention of Indonesian music lovers after their vacuum for 2 years. The idea of making the Colors album actually already existed since 2015, but the new creation can be implemented 2 years later. It was because Stereo Case needed time to decide whether they continue with only 2 remaining personnel, Ikif and Fadli, or stop to work. even though the band left by its two personal stereo case, get help from many famous Indonesian musicians, including Iga Masardi, Vidi, Puradireja, and Nuno Mora, to complete the Colors album. The process of writing and recording of the album took 6 months since 2015, completely refined in 2017. According to Fadli, the vocalist, in collaboration with many musicians, it has presented their own dynamics and challenges. However, thanks to the presence of the collaborators, the Colors album became increasingly colorful. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tabu and All Night Long. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service,
Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.